Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Hello and welcome, friends, to Newsmakers. I'm Brent DeHart, here with Dave Bourne. Dave, you want to say hi?
Hello, Brent.
And welcome all everybody listening to Newsmakers. It's our first week on the program. If you're looking for Kevin Jackson, he's still here on KYKN 1430. You can listen to Kevin Jackson every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3. But for the noon hour, we're going to be doing local topics for Salem Kaiser, for Mid-Valley, Marion Polk, I don't know what the whole region, from out to Staten and Monmouth and Brooks, all over. And so we'll be talking about local issues, individuals, institutions, initiatives. We're kind of not talking about the national issues. We'd like to keep it local and things that affect our family, our businesses, our communities, our education system, our taxes, everything within a shout's distance of Salem. So 1430 KYKN Salem is listening. This is your local show. We're talking public safety and government and social issues. We're talking about media and education and the economy. Some of my favorite topics we'll be talking about, some of my favorite rants. You have any rants you're looking forward to, Dave?
Oh, just maybe a couple.
A few different driving stories.
Things
you always wanted to tell every driver. It's always nice to have your own show. But most importantly, great things in our midst that are no longer covered by our local papers. There's a lot of wonderful things in our community. We try to keep this positive. And talking about a community with common sense attitude and perspective and focus. So I know Dave Bourne, great to have you as a partner here.
You too, Brent.
And I know your favorite topics will be infrastructure and taxation, right?
Roads, yeah.
Roads. Ugh. Things the government should be doing, but maybe not.
Potholes are the worst.
thank you for joining us here on Newsmakers on KYKN. Today in studio, we have a feel-good story, honestly. I saw this young man speak at a forum lunch. About 150 people present, and I heard his story, and I thought this needed to be broadcast to a wider audience.
Cool.
And so thank you for being here. So we have Bob Dalton in the studio with us to talk about sackcloth and ashes. And if you haven't heard of him, you're going to hear about him today, and you're going to be inspired by his story. Bob, welcome.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. I appreciated your speech. I found, as an audience member who had never met you, that you were just wonderfully frank and open, transparent, I think is what you said the word was, and where you've come from and how you were inspired. And so tell us a little bit about, well, we'll tell the audience, first of all, where'd you come from and how'd you get to Salem?
Yeah, so I grew up in Coos Bay.
I heard of that place.
Yeah, a little coastal town in Oregon. It was in my high school years, I got connected with an organization called Young Life. I was a Young Life kid. My Young Life leader, I grew up without a father, so my Young Life leader, you know, was kind of showing up, working out with us after school, going to our sporting events, inviting us over for dinner, you know, with his family, and really played the role as a father figure in my life. And so that's how I kind of got introduced with Young Life. You know, we'd show up, we'd hear messages about Christ. And growing up in the church, this was kind of a something new. Instead of just hearing the messages, I was actually getting to interact with somebody who was living out the message in the life of Christ.
Cool. And that brought you to Salem somehow?
You know, when I graduated high school, because Young Life changed my life, I ended up moving to Monmouth, Oregon, here in the Valley, and they didn't have Young Life. I was 19 years old, dropped out of college, and started Young Life out in Monmouth.
Well, great. I appreciate that. Got to fill in the blanks here. So Bob Dalton is with us, and he is the founder of Sackcloth and Ashes, a local nonprofit, doing great things, changing the world one blanket at a time. And he's going to tell us his story here a little bit. Now, Sackcloth and Ashes, tell us a little bit about the name and where that came from, and then we're going to dive into the mission.
Yeah, totally. So Sackcloth and Ashes, it was a name that I discovered in the ancient the Jewish Book of Wisdom. Mm-hmm. I was reading through it, found it. It means mourning and repentance. I thought that was an incredible, fascinating, kind of mysterious name. Jotted it in my phone and kept it for if I ever started some sort of a business or nonprofit.
That is very cool. Yeah. So we're talking about homeless here in our community, and I know for us Salemites, Kaiserites, mm-hmm. is it Kaiserites? Kaiser and Indians? So what do we? We'll have to get a call in. And
yeah, right.
Kaiserites. We've seen homelessness like never before. When I moved to town 28 years ago, we didn't have anywhere near the kind of exposure to homeless people in the streets as we did now. I don't even 10 years ago we didn't. And now it's on everybody's forefront of people's minds. We see it more prevalent in the downtown area, in the parks areas and things like that. And certainly I know that I work downtown and the United Gospel Mission is downtown. And it's ever present in terms of being aware of what's going on. So we're going to talk about homeless and one person's quest to do something about it. Sackcloth and Ashes. So you came up with an idea, and you visited that gospel mission, right? I'm going to try to remember the story you told the other day.
Yeah, so the concept and the idea of the business was inspired by my mom who lived on the streets. Mm-hmm. And so my mom ended up in kind of a vicious cycle. She was living in Coos Bay at the time. She called me up in 2013 and said, Bob, I'm doing it. I'm going to move across the United States and start my life over. And booked a one-way plane ticket, sold everything she had left on Craigslist, flew from Oregon to Florida. She thought her aunt would take her in. Her aunt didn't take her in, so she ended up sleeping on beaches and benches. Mm-hmm. And completely changed my paradigm of how I understand the homeless community. I was always the guy that drove by people on the street, whispered under my breath, go get a job. And when you're someone close to you ends up on the streets, it completely changes you. You know, she's the hardest working woman I know. So she has 2 college degrees. And that taught me that not all people choose to become homeless, but some people need a second chance. That inspired me to call my local homeless shelters and ask what they needed. And they all said blankets, and specifically the Salem UGM. You know, I called them up and I was like, hey, what do you guys need? Do you need me to help raise money? Do you need help? You know, me come help serve food. Like, what do you guys need? They said, we need blankets. So came up with the idea for every blanket that someone purchases from our company, we'll donate a second blanket to that person's local homeless shelter.
So what was the model for that? What inspired you to do that?
I was familiar with the one-for-one business model that was revolutionized by Tom's Shoes, that for every pair of shoes mm-hmm. purchased from their company, they send a pair of shoes to somebody overseas that's in need. I wanted to take it a step further and evolve it and make it local. So giving people and companies an opportunity to actually make a difference down the street, you know, from their house or from their company.
Oh, that's terrific. So you took a model of Tom's, which mm-hmm. is huge, international.
Yeah. Huge props to them.
And how do you modify this or mold it mm-hmm. so that it makes an impact locally? Is that the concept?
Yeah, because we're addressing a lot of issues overseas. We're helping a lot of issues overseas. And this was an opportunity to really address an issue that's right here in our backyards, in our own societies, that's, you know, something that we're driving by every single day. Yeah. And so this was an opportunity to not only address an issue locally, but to actually do something about an issue locally for me, and giving people in all across the United States an opportunity to do something locally in their, you know, own town.
So I can buy a sackcloth and ashes blanket. Mm-hmm. And when I do so, and say I buy it for an employee, I buy it for my spouse, and then the organization is going to donate a like blanket to a homeless shelter.
Yeah, so for every blanket that someone purchases, we donate a second blanket to their local homeless shelter, and we donate a twin size fleece, no matter what blanket that you purchase through our website. Fleece were the most requested by homeless shelters. Less people are allergic to fleece. Fleece are washable. Mm. So we actually donate a twin size fleece for any blanket that's purchased through our website. If you live in Austin, Texas, and you buy a blanket through our website, we'll send a second blanket to a homeless shelter in Austin, Texas. If you live in Nashville, Tennessee, and you buy a blanket, we'll send a second blanket to a homeless shelter in Nashville, Tennessee. We donate based on zip code.
Wow. We're going to talk after the first break. We're going to talk a little bit about how this became a national thing, a national awareness. But I'm really inspired by how this is affecting people. I mean, Because frankly, every dollar the UGM does not have to spend on blankets and bedding, they get to spend on food. Mm-hmm. They get to spend on feeding people, training people, all the great work that they do. So,
and there are a lot of shelters that are buying blankets.
Yes.
That's the crazy thing. Like, they're spending quite a bit of money.
All right. Well, blankets. You're listening to Newsmakers and KYKN, and we've got Bob Dalton, the founder of Sackcloth and Ashes, with us. We welcome you, and this is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers. We'll be back in a minute.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Salem Kaiser to KYKN Newsmakers. From noon to one, we're talking local topics with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne.
Yes.
If you're looking for Kevin Jackson, he's still on. You're going to hear him from 1 to 3 every weekday. Every day, KYKN 1430. Salem is listening, but our noon hour is dedicated to these newsmakers of the Marion Polk region, Salem Kaiser. We're going to be talking local issues, local individuals, local initiatives, and we've got one here today in the studio. Bob Dalton, founder of Sackcloth and Ashes, has been talking to us about his origin story for his nonprofit, providing blankets to the homeless, and it exploded. So, Bob, welcome back. We'd like to share a little bit, because you shared a little bit of your story and what inspired you, and kind of driven from a Christian background, and actually inspired by, in name, by some Christian text and ancient Hebrew text, to do something about homeless locally. So Sackcloth and Ashes is donating these blankets with everyone purchased. Somehow, though, now I'm not a social media guy. I'll post, you know, kids' sports scores and things like that. But I don't have an Instagram account. I don't do Twitter or any of these things. But somehow through social media, you went from, hey, how can I make an effect in my local homeless population and the people that serve them with the United Gospel Mission, to suddenly it's blanket the U.S. So take us through that.
Yeah, so that's the beautiful thing about e-commerce, you know, launching a company online. I launched sackclothandashes.com on June 1st of 2014, and it's a blanket company. You know, it's not seemingly exciting or a product that would be easy to sell. But it is a universal product, and it's something that I didn't know really anything about business at the time. And we actually aren't a nonprofit. We're a for-profit, which is a big misconception just because of the good that we're doing. So I didn't know much about business at all, except for the power of perception. If I could perceive, get people to become aware and see and hear what we're actually doing through social media, I knew that I could make more sales on e-commerce. So I hired the best photographer that I could locally here in Salem, Common Area Collective, and the model shot for free because her brother was homeless. We did our first photo shoot, and all I knew was post on Instagram once a day, high quality imagery. So I posted on Instagram once a day, launched a company in June of 14, November of 2014, Instagram emails me and says, Bob, we love your story. We love what you're doing. We love and how you give back. We want to feature you on Instagram's Instagram account, which at the time had about 42 million followers.
Wow.
I said, oh my gosh, you know, how long do I have to prepare? They said, we're posting about you tomorrow, which was the day before Black Friday. And, you know, I was like, you know, they post about us. We grew about 20,000 followers overnight. And that became the platform in which I would build our social media on over the next 4 years. And so we've done about close to 100% of our sales through our website, and primarily like 90% of our sales have come through Instagram.
So the message got out, the mission got out. Mm-hmm. And on your website, there's pictures of people with the blankets sitting in all places all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that come about?
Well, after we got featured on Instagram, it basically opened up the door for us to work with any content creator in the world. We just got mass exposure to some of the best photographers in the world that started to email me and say, Bob, we want to shoot, you know, photography on our travels. We want to shoot your blankets in our house. And so I just came up with a concept that, like, let's start creating photo series and start doing a photo series in Tokyo, a photo series in, you know, Hong Kong, photo series in the Netherlands, like anywhere around the world as people travel, young millennials that are traveling the world, send them a blanket, shoot a photo series, or, you know, influencers that are creating beautiful homes and spaces and they already have huge followings on Instagram. I'd say, hey, can I send you some blankets and shoot a home tour through your house, have the blankets happen to be in the photos, and then post the photo on your Instagram account and tag us and say, check out Sackcloth and Ashes. So we scaled our social media following to over 300,000 followers purely from sending our blankets to photographers that are already creating photo shoots in their home and, you know, traveling the world.
That's some great views too. I imagine I'll have to sign up for Instagram. You have an Instagram account, Dave?
I do.
You do?
I do.
All right. So what do you post? Inspiring pictures of changing the world?
Well, no, not as, you know, uppity as his, you know, helping the world. You know, it's mostly self stuff, but, you know, car, wife,
all right,
beautiful sunsets.
So I should get an account and so I can follow Dave. This is Brent DeHart, KYK Newsmakers at the Noon Hour. Keep in mind that you listen to Kevin Jackson at 1 to 3 now, that we have this local Noon Hour, talk about local issues. Let's expand upon this a little bit. So now you've kind of exploded because this really started with making a difference locally, right? Isn't that a huge part of what you and your organization's all about?
Yeah, it was changing my understanding of how I personally view the homeless. So, you know, I was coming at the issue of, in a very judgmental way. I've always been passionate about social issues and are helping social issues, and homelessness was never even on the list. So actually calling the Salem UGM and them saying, like, hey, we need blankets, that inspired me to actually do something about it, where I drove down to Joann's Fabric, bought a sewing machine and a roll of fabric, try to learn how to sew so that I can make blankets to actually sell and give to my local homeless shelter. You know, and because of e-commerce and because of social media, it allowed me to grow the business much larger than just locally.
So everyone's made by Bob? Produced by Bob?
No, I made one half of a blanket before I realized very quickly that I can't sew.
Well, and so, obstacle number one in the business plan. I cannot sew.
I cannot sew. I made the first Sackcloth and Ashes blanket, but that's it. I'd like to still take sewing lessons from my team, but yeah.
Well, eventually when you're featured on Good Morning America and all the national, when you're super, super famous, Bob, I hope you can auction off that first blanket.
Yeah,
to somebody.
I won't. No. I'll keep it.
No,
I'll keep it.
But it makes so much difference.
It's a good product to have with me on speaking events.
Okay, so you had a social media story. You got exposed. How did you manage to scale up operations and provide for, you know, the newfound demand for your product?
I had a best friend who was just got promoted to a manager position at his job here in town, and he was on the floor in my office, like, helping fray blankets. And I told him, like, Jordan, you need to quit your job, you know? And he was like, okay. So he quit his job on the spot, joined me. He helped build out the infrastructure in which, you know, he started standing in line at USPS, handwriting labels. And now he's running an entire operation that he's pretty much pioneered from the ground up. So as I pioneered the marketing side and the social media digital content side, he was pioneering the actual fulfillment side of streamlining, you know, fulfillment in-house. So we do all of our production, fulfillment, everything here in Salem.
Okay. So real quickly, you know, you say it's kind of a boring product. You say this is a universal product, but it's but tell us a little bit about the product, because we're going to talk in the third segment about how people can buy the blankets, how they can use them as corporate gifts, how they can use them to bring awareness to homeless just by giving a gift. But right now, let's talk a little bit about the product. So you're bringing them in, you're prepping them for sale and so forth, right?
Yeah, well, it started with the buying of the fabric of the Joann's.
Yeah.
And then we just, you know, shout out to Joann's Fabric. You know, we love you, Joann. I still get your discount codes. you know, and quickly moved to figuring out sources somewhere else. So today we actually make the fabric in Italy. The fabric gets shipped from Italy to our production facility here in Salem, where we have a team that cuts, sews, poly bags, labels, everything, shelves it, and fulfills it all out of Salem. And so we do everything in-house now. The actual, you know, product is, we're constantly coming out with new collections. We're constantly finding other manufacturers here in the United States. But primary, about 80% of our fabric is made in Italy. Everything else is done here in Salem, Oregon.
You, at least at one time, you had some product come from Mexico or Peru, et cetera. Are you still?
Yeah, about the other 20% is either from U.S. or Peru.
Okay. So I'm not doing my job very well, Bob Dalton, Sackcloth and Ashes. I need to mention your website. So is it sackclothandashes.com?
Sackclothandashes.com.
Just spell it all out.
Yep.
Okay, no ampersand or anything like that in
nope.
there. So I you know, I checked it out, and you've got a nice selection. How many different blankets?
About 30 different SKUs.
Okay. And then?
Just blankets, nothing else, and never will be.
I suppose it's only fitting that to let my assistant know in my actual other office that she's going to get a blanket for Christmas. So we'll
Love
just put it out there.
Great
all my,
gift.
All my relatives that are listening, they're streaming from out of state. You know, you can expect to get a blanket for Christmas.
You're set.
That
You're
is
set.
Great stuff.
And so, that's exactly why we will scale larger than Tom's, is because blankets are a universal gift. You don't have to worry about shoe size. You don't have to worry about, you know, style. It's a universal product that can be given to anyone, anywhere, anytime.
And you ship everywhere.
Ship everywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. And so let's say I am in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I buy a blanket. Where's my donated blanket going?
To your local home or shelter. If you don't have a local home or shelter, we donate to the closest one based on your zip code.
Okay.
We donate to over 500 shelters in the United States.
Awesome. That is very cool. What a great story, Bob. I appreciate it. I mean, I know it's something that you're, when you're starting it up, you have to be a little bit overwhelmed. And hopefully you're overwhelmed by the success of it and that it's growing and that it kind of encompasses you.
Yeah.
So I'm an outside audience, and mm-hmm. KYKN listeners are now an outside audience. And I tell you, it's inspiring that you saw something. You saw something not just in society, but in yourself mm-hmm. that you want to do something about, and that you're doing something about it. I just think it's the coolest thing ever. So we'll be back with Bob Dalton, the founder of Sackcloth and Ashes. Almost blew that. Here on Newsmakers, KYKN, Salem is listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back, friends. You're here on KYKN Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Here in studio today, we have Bob Dalton. If you're looking for Kevin Jackson, I know he used to be on this hour, but now Dave Bourne and I have taken it over, and Kevin Jackson's on 1 to 3 every weekday, right?
Every weekday, yes.
So you can still get your Kevin Jackson fix right after our show. Newsmakers is going to focus on local topics and individuals here in the Mid-Willamette Valley. So Bob Dalton, Sackcloth and Ashes, it's kind of hard to say. Try not to say it very fast. I'm gonna bring up a reference. I looked online, actually. You mentioned in a speech I heard you do that it has a biblical root. It's Old Testament. I was surprised to find it was referenced in Jonah in the Old Testament, and how Jonah called people of Nineveh to task. And there was a reference of sackcloth and ashes, and how sackcloth was like a real rough, like a burlap. And if you were in repentance, you would take off your finer wares and you would just wear the sackcloth and be uncomfortable and sit in ashes and kind
wow.
of. Wow. Yeah. put ashes and, you know, ashes on the forehead.
Yeah.
Sitting amongst ashes and covering yourself with ashes. And there's numerous references in Daniel and Kings and in the Old Testament. Sackcloth and ashes and sitting in repentance. And for you, it's doing something, looking at and judging your own attitude about homelessness and doing something about it. Right, Bob?
Yeah, so for every blanket that's purchased from our company, we donate a second blanket to your local homeless shelter. So the idea is that sackcloth and ashes was a name that symbolized mourning and repentance. So the idea is every time somebody wraps themselves in a blanket, it symbolizes mourning over the homeless population and repentance by contributing to a homeless shelter in your area.
Very nice.
Wow. That's
so nice. Capital Subaru had a presence and has partnered with you. And I noticed that there are other local companies who are partnering you, Guild Mortgage, Academy Mortgage, Mountain West Investments, when the World Market. And so these are people who come alongside you. And how does that work? And how can other companies partner with Sackcloth and Ashes?
Yeah, so June 1st, 2018, from 2014 to 2018, we sold almost all of our product on our website. 2018, June of 2018, we launched our first major campaign called Blanket the United States, where our goal is to donate 1 million blankets to homeless shelters by 2024. We're going to do that by partnering with people individually who buy a blanket on our website. We'll send a second blanket to their local shelter. And now we're going to do that by partnering with companies that want to give gifts to their clients or their employees. So that could be a closing gift, that could be holiday gift. Doesn't matter. If you buy a gift as a company and you give it away, you can now give a quality gift, a Sackcloth and Ashes blanket, and make a difference in your local homeless shelter. Capital Subaru was the first B2B partner that stepped up in a major way. That they bought 2,500 blankets from our company. And because of our partnership with them, we're able to give a blanket to every single person that buys a brand new Subaru from Capital Subaru. And because of our partnership with them, we're able to donate 2,500 blankets to homeless shelters across the state of Oregon.
Wow, that's fantastic. So are you open to other partners? How's this?
Yeah, shortly after that, within 30 days of that partnership, World Market reached, you know, we got in contact with World Market. I proposed a contract to them. They accepted. They bought 5,000 blankets from our company. They're distributing the blankets to every single, in the front of every single World Market in the nation. And because of our partnership with them, we were able to donate 5,000 blankets to homeless shelters in California. And now any, you know, company that gives gifts can contact me direct at bob@sackclothandashes.com. If you want to give a gift to your clients or your customers or your employees, you can now give a quality gift and make a difference in your local shelter.
So, closing gift. I like it. Realtors, are you out there listening? Realtors, that would be a perfect opportunity, especially since they're buying something for a new home. That's a great program in terms of doing something nice for your client and inspiring your client that you're doing something nice in the world and hopefully spreading awareness. Because you're on the show today, Bob, because I thought your story needed to spread their awareness. But heck, you have so much media exposure nationwide already. It's really great to have you here locally in our community. So I don't want to get off the corporate partnership thing. We're going to get back on that. But talk a little bit about the presentation, because what the blankets look like, how they're packaged. So when you're giving that gift, how they arrive and what they look like.
Yeah, so starting on November 20th, we're rolling out our new packaging. And so anybody that buys a blanket on our website, it will come in a black Sackcloth and Ashes box. And when you open up that box, on the front of the box, it says Blanket the United States. On the top of the box, it has our logo. When you open up the box, there's on the back of the top of the box, there is a map of the United States with blue dots all over it showing the 500 homeless shelters that we give to. When you pull your blanket out of the box, on the bottom of the box, it says, take it a step further, fill this box with the following items and donate to your local homeless shelter. So you're actually, and it says water bottle, lip balm, socks. And so you can actually use our packaging that the blanket comes in, repurpose it, fill it up, fill that box up and donate to your local homeless shelter or pass out to somebody on the street. And so it's just giving your customer, your employee, or whoever you're buying it for a holiday gift, an opportunity to not only receive the blanket, made a difference in their local homeless shelter with the second blanket, but also an opportunity to fill this box up and take it a step further.
In other words, inspiring them to pay it forward.
Pay it forward.
That is terrific. So let's look a little bit about the media exposure. I looked and saw that you've been featured on some national media, People Magazine, and InStyle, Yoga, Outdoor, Retailer, Folk. It just goes on and on. Are those people just picking up on your social media and doing a story on
you? Yeah. Yeah, it's an ongoing joke in our company. We've spent $2 in PR in the history of the company, and we don't know where that $2 actually went, except, I don't know. We just spent $2 on PR.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
So Capital Subaru, and probably Capital Subaru exposed this to also Subaru USA, or does it have a chance to grow?
Yeah, I believe definitely it has a chance to grow. I think that this is going to be an example model for every Subaru in the United States.
Shout out to Alex Casebeer, right?
Shout out to Alex Casebeer. You know, that's my brother.
Good job. So people who are listening to the broadcast and want information, because you don't have to be a big institution to partner with you, right?
Yeah.
So that you're encouraging them to reach out to you and find a way. Mm-hmm. You could institutionalize this as a client gift, as an employee gift, as a family gift. Do they reach out to you directly, or just go to contact us on the webpage?
Either. You know, either. All comes back to me.
Okay.
Wow, really?
It does.
Nice.
There's a man who has his hands on everything.
Hands on. I like
it. A clean form of communication.
Every blanket that we get will have his DNA on it because he has personally inspected everyone.
Not that hands on.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So back to the product. Mm-hmm. This is not burlap anymore.
Right? It's not burlap.
Even despite the name of sackcloth. It comes in a gift box.
Yep.
Is there, you can obviously go to your World Market and get it.
Yep.
Gift cards. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to pick out your sister's blanket or maybe even your client's blanket. Yep. How does that function?
It's e-gift cards. So gift cards that you can only use to redeem on our website. So you can actually go to our website, sackclothandash.com, buy a gift card on our website that has a certain amount of credit on it. And then you can basically just give that discount code or that gift card code to, you know, write it in a holiday card or print it off or whatever.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
You know, homeless here in Salem, Kaiser area and in Independence, and I know you're in Monmouth, that's really come to the forefront of our public awareness. And
it was on the front page of the Statesman Journal last Sunday.
It was nice of the Statesman Journal to cover it.
Yeah.
So that's great. And it seems more important to community discussion all the time. And we do not have a single solution for it. Mm-hmm. And I know that the local initiatives, and I was telling you before during the break, that it doesn't seem like there's any one answer and what to deal with it other than do something, do small things. But it will require we as a public doing something, the city doing something, this county doing something, the state doing something to help and provide services for this, right? So philosophically, we're not going to really wipe away homelessness right now.
Right? Yeah, agreed. I don't know if we ever will.
Well, and we may never. I don't know if we have a country or an area in the world that would solve this entirely. But heck, it's really nice to see somebody in our community doing something about it. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and David Bourne. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN, Salem is Listening.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Newsmakers on KYKN 1430. If you're looking for Kevin Jackson, he will come at the top of the hour. You're going to hear him still weekdays 1 to 3. But at Newsmakers, Monday through Friday, we're going to be talking about local topics with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne.
Yes.
And inside the studio, we got Bob Dalton of Sackcloth and Ashes. You heard of them before, Dave?
I have not.
It's really nice to expose you to some new things, great things happening in the community.
Known worldwide.
He is known worldwide.
Wow.
He's more famous than either one of us will ever be, and at a ripe young age. So, Bob, we were talking about homeless. We're talking about homeless in our area, and we're talking about solutions and how there's no one solution. Can you tell us a little bit about your view and what Salem can do and what Salem is positioned to do?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily, I don't have a lot of answers because I'm just now diving into this particular issue myself because I've spent most of my life judging homeless people that are homeless. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually trying to reverse that statement, homeless people to people that are homeless, and actually start leading with identity. So I don't have a lot to bring in regards to a lot of education on the issue, but I can speak out of my own story, which is I used to be the guy that drove by people on the streets and judged them and whispered under my breath, go get a job. And I believe that we have enough resources to actually contribute and help the issue of homelessness in a really major way. I believe Salem has enough resources to change this issue. I believe that the United States has enough resources to change this issue. But what we're lacking is not resources, we're lacking respect. We need to start respecting the people who are on the streets first and foremost, and resources will follow that. So if we want to actually start talking about solutions and talking about resources and things that we can give, we have to start with the aspect of respecting people on the streets. Princeton did a study that when we drive by people on the streets, we see them as objects. My goal and my mission is to actually change that. And to call people first and foremost to, if you want to help, it starts with looking people in the eyes when you drive by them and acknowledging them as a human being. I think that that's where the conversation needs to start, is respect, not necessarily resources.
So yeah, see them as an identity and see them as a story. Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Just yesterday, I had an issue with a homeless person. They were playing on the corner, looking for a handout, and he had a dog with him. And my wife likes the dogs, so she was staring at the dog. And he literally changed the lyrics of his song and started addressing her and saying that she had a prejudice against him and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, what? And she goes, yeah, you lady. And then he just started going explicit on her and all this stuff. And if he's expecting a handout, anybody that was in the area that heard that, it's not going to be handing any money to this guy. Mm-hmm. And there's also the mental crisis that is also associated with the homeless. Some of them want to be on the street. Some of them don't want to be on the street. But how do you address that as well?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, we and that's a very legitimate concern. It's a messy issue. It's a sometimes dangerous issue, yes. You know. And it's a very complex issue. And, I think where I'm wanting to start the conversation is, actually, what can I do? What can I do? I can't control other people. I can't control people on the street. I can't force them to get a job. I can't even, play a role in whether or not people want to participate in a handout or what their view is on that. I can do what I can do. I can change what I can change. That's it. And so my focus in the conversation is leading first and foremost in what I'm personally doing and the way that I'm trying to change my own mentality and also confess on my own biases toward the issue. Even though I am running a very large company to help contribute to the homeless, I still struggle with my own biases toward the homeless, you know? And so I think first and foremost is asking, what can I personally do? And I think that we have to respect people on a human level, first and foremost. I read in the Jewish Book of Wisdom, the way that rabbis understand this particular issue is that you can not give to 100 folks on the street in case that one is a fraud, or we can give to 100 people on the street in case that one is not a fraud. And there's a huge difference in looking at that. And I would much rather give to 100 people and 99 of them be a fraud so that we can actually help the one person that actually is in need. On the issue of a handout, I think it comes down to you need to do what is personally going to change you. You know, I gave $20 to someone on the street at one point, and my friend's like, oh, what are you doing, man? You don't know what he's going to do with that money. I'm like, I didn't give the $20 to him for him. I gave the $20 to him for me. That's me trying to change my bias. That's me trying to let go of this clinging on to my own resources so that I can, this is a mentality change for me. I don't know what he's going to do with that $20, nor do I even encourage other people to give money to people on the street. That was something that I felt like I was called to do. That was something that I felt like I was supposed to do. And so I think that we need to answer for our own selves. Yeah. On that particular thing.
Thank you, Bob. And, you know, Dave, I think you're exactly right, because we're not experts.
No.
We cannot solve that mental health issue. Mm-hmm. We cannot, you know, we can only do so much. And, you know, people like Bob here is inspiring people to do more. But we're talking about how this really has to be a multidisciplinary. Mm-hmm. This has to be a multi-government. This has to be a multi-community mm-hmm. effort in terms of the city has to do something.
Yeah.
And the county health department has to do something. And the state has to do something with resources. And the community has to wake up. It's because we're not going to solve this. I can first want to confess I have no answer. And I have the same prejudice and fight with those that you do. And I fight with my wife about it as well. And so it's like, do we give to somebody on the street, and do we give them more if they have a dog? Right. So, but it is going to take, and I think, you know, the poor will always be with us, right?
No,
the poor
always,
will always be with us.
They
the
always have
is,
been. Always.
Do, and always will be,
yeah.
As we're taught. And the fact is, what is Salem going to do about it? And Salem Kaiser going to do about it? And what can we individually do about it? And I think you had some comments about Salem as a model. Right?
Yeah, I think Salem has an opportunity to be a leader in the United States on helping and contributing and celebrating solutions for this issue. Salem is second biggest city in Oregon. We're located here in the capital. I think that what Salem UGM is doing is unbelievable. They're building a brand new shelter by the end of 2020, that's going to almost double in size of the amount of people that they can feed, that they can sleep, and they're doing unbelievable work. So the fact that Salem, our town right here, our community, is actually going to be a leader example of actually building a legitimate shelter, an innovative shelter. Not a lot of cities are doing that. And I think that we have an opportunity as a city, not just to be a leader in statistics, but to be a leader in creating and celebrating solutions. And I want to give a shout out to Myron and his team at the Salem UGM, because they're doing unbelievable work to help the homeless in our community. They're creating solutions.
So solutions, not statistics. That is terrific. Hey, you're listening to KYKN 1430, Newsmakers in the Noon Hour with Bob Dalton, founder of Sackcloth and Ashes. And I encourage you to check out the website. Maybe utilize and help him utilize those blankets as gifts and make a small difference this holiday season. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers KYKN. Salem's listening.
Introduce myself.